Good-natured, hardy, jumpers, relatively new richness, being outdoors, beautiful, clean, quiet, reserved people, expensive, grown up, sensible, healthy, big on social welfare, often naked. Sweden without the furniture or car industries. All the trees. They pickle bloody everything. Unassuming. Very hospitable. Effortlessly well organised. Not as expensive as you think. The population speak better English than folks in England. Lovely crinkly edges. Good furniture. Tall. Good houses. Good education system. Pro-Germany in World War II but pretended to be anti-Nazi. Insular. Crisp, fresh air. Liberal. Tolerant. Fjords. Patterned sweaters. Warm houses. Northern lights. Good flag. Some fantastic music and not just black metal. Hi.
It's 7 a.m. and you are listening to the Beat Poetry Channel. With Chris and Knut.
Coming at you from Oslo. Who wants to listen to beat poetry at 7 a.m? I would, actually. I would tune in for that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How is Bergen?
Bergen is cold, but dry.
I saw that you had some sunshine. You had your team away. Thing. Noun.
A team trip.
There's your noun.
Trip. Yeah.
How was it?
It was great. We went into the Sognefjord to Balestrand, which is a small place in a fjord.
And what did you do?
I want to say that we had some advanced team building exercises, like rock climbing and deep fjord diving, harpooning, building towers out of toilet paper, and so on. But, well, we mostly talked and drank wine.
Harpooning your colleagues doesn't sound like the kind of team building.
Only the weak colleagues.
Oh, okay, yeah, I get that. It's for the greater good, right? It's for the good of the herd.
Of course.
Flokdyr is a word that I learned this week.
In what occasion?
Social proof.
Ah, I see.
Sorry, flokdyr being herd animals, right?
That's us.
We are. We harpoon each other. Hi, this is the most random episode opener yet, I think.
You're actually listening to Small Differences, your favorite... It's way too early. It's way too early, Chris. We have to start at least at 7:10 a.m. I haven't had my coffee yet.
take all the time and coffee that you need. All I'm doing is racking up megabytes of audio. It's fine.
Right, I just ticked in 20 hours, and we are only on Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pro tip, slow down.
Websites doesn't make themselves, I guess.
I guess not.
How's the weather like in Oslo?
It's usual. It's pretty dry. It's kind of cold. It's fine. I got really tired the last few weeks of having mud on my jeans all the time. I come to work and I look like I've been jumping around in puddles. I haven't.
Did you have the slushy snow?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, we got some snow. Then it went away.
Perhaps it will come back and go away and come back and so on.
I think you have the measure of Oslo weather.
Right, follow-up.
Follow-up.
We had
the list. We did. We had a lot. We had a lot. We talked previously about people's impressions of Norway and Scandinavia generally, and the list that I read at the start of the episode was a very selective sample of the feedback that I got from people on Twitter. And we can go into that as much or as little as you want. There's a lot to unpack there. Did I say anything at the start of the episode that you found surprising? Or
I must admit, I found it soothing. It sort of drove me into a trance of national pride.
Was it consistent in any way with the Norway that you live in and recognize? Or was it?
Yeah, pretty much, I guess.
It wasn't a little stereotyped?
Yeah, it was. But what I found is that perhaps stereotypes are there for a reason, right?
Oh, that's treading on very, very thin ice, no?
There is no such thing as thin ice in this country, as you know.
Poor choice of metaphor.
It read almost like a poem. It read like a poem that you would read perhaps on May 17th. Oh, yes. I'm so looking forward to that episode. The May 17th episode. Have you any idea?
Gjør vi hele episoden på norsk?
I think perhaps we had to make two episodes. One for the English audience and perhaps one for the Norwegian audience.
That'll be fun.
And one in sign language, of course. There's a niche.
I think so. I think sign language podcasting is the future. We'll provide a transcript, obviously.
But back to my question. Do you have any idea of May 17th? Have you heard about it?
A little bit. So is it National Day? Is that the best translation for it? Norwegian National Day?
Yeah, I guess so. Do you have National Days in the UK?
Oh, we do.
One for each country, I guess.
Yeah. So the UK being composed of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland, they all have saints' days. So they all have like a patron saint associated with them in the old Christian tradition. And the most... Yeah, I guess the same is true on those days as here, is that like mostly it's a focal point for drinking. It's not a public holiday in the UK. Is it here? Or wait, is it? It is in England. It's not in Scotland. So England, I think they get the day off. It's like a bank holiday there. But in Scotland, it's just a day that people go to work and some people dress up in kilts. So what happens here? I mean, I have a rough idea, but...
You just asked me if there is a public holiday.
Yeah.
So that would suggest to me that you perhaps, well, if you have an idea, it's very rough.
Okay.
So you don't go and buy flags, dress in your national like dress, and go out and parade in the streets while singing. And have speeches about how great your country is and so on.
You don't do those things in the UK because it's not 1953 anymore.
Well, every year, May 17th, it is in Norway.
That's a big deal. It sounds like a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Well... Now I'm excited and slightly intimidated. Also, I don't have appropriate costume to wear. I've seen Norwegian bunad costumes.
Yeah, could you? Well, I guess you could certainly go undercover as a Norwegian, but...
Based on?
Based on your appearance, I guess, as you mentioned earlier, you don't look not Norwegian. But where you would come into trouble is when people start ask you about the bunad. Because wearing a bunad requires very sort of deep knowledge of its traditions and where it comes from and so on and so on.
Are they all different? Are they a family thing? Like, do you have a particular one in Scotland, for example, you would have, if you were a man and you wore a kilt, it would probably be a family tartan?
No, it's more geographical, I guess. So it's tied to regions or townships and so on.
I was talking to a colleague a while back about she dressed up. I forget if it was National Day or something else, but she put on a bunad and she wore the wrong socks and people tutted.
Mm. It's a lot of tutting, which is a word I never used before. But
what's the Norwegian?
I have no idea. What does it mean? Well, exactly. Well, perhaps Norwegians don't tut. Perhaps it's more scoffing.
That's not what I hear. I hear there's a lot of kind of quiet disapproval.
Quiet disapproval would be it. Do you have a fancy short word for quiet disapproval?
You tell me.
This is fascinating with the sort of the British language, is that we have lots of short, meaningless words for things you do with your face.
Right. yeah, I mean, tutting is just the noise, right? The tutting is the kind of noise. But yeah, what it connotes is sort of quiet disapproval. Is there not a word for that in Norwegian at all?
No, I don't think so.
But you do it. Not you personally.
You tell me.
I hear that there is, you know, like if a train is 1 minute late, people have this feeling or whatever.
But do they make the noise?
I don't know. I think I have heard people, I've heard stories, I think my husband has come back and said that he's been tutted at for doing the wrong thing. I don't know what it was. Not sneezing into his elbow on the train.
Oh, he sneezed into his hand?
I think so.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Just on behalf of my entire country.
I'm what very are these? Disappointed.
So was the old lady who tutted at him. What are these other things that British people do with their faces that have names? Give me another one.
Well, you have huffing, growling. well, what I meant is you have some these short words or or terms, right, which sounds very British, but you can't understand them right away. The tuft is one of them for me, at least. Perhaps scuff as well.
75% of these things are basically disapproval, right?
Harking, perhaps.
What? Harking?
Hark.
I feel like we've gone back 200 years. Hark. What is hark. That I hear? Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
I got nothing. I'm awash in my own language. It's very uncomfortable.
You tell me. Right, so, yeah. But yeah, you could certainly take that thing you did in the start to May 17th and be applauded.
I thought I would remix it with like a techno kind of backdrop, a little bit of bass, some kind of beat underneath. It could be huge.
You could be the next Kygo.
Who?
Haven't you heard of Kygo, the world-renowned EMD artist from Bergen?
No.
Well, you have to check that out for next time, because this is a podcast where you have homework, right?
Right.
In lieu of your Norwegian course.
Right. Well, that's on pause. I'm waiting for the grammar course to start, so yeah, I have to do other homework.
So... have you been to the toilet yet?
Say what now? No.
or the loo, or the john.
I've been to the can. I've been to the crapper, the shitter, the little girl's room, not the little boy's room. I've used the dunny.
The dunny?
That's Australian. That doesn't really count. I feel like I'm stealing that one.
Well, you guys sort of make Australia or something back in the days?
I think we more sort of terraformed it. Emphasis on terror.
Yeah. So the loo, the dunny. Dunny. You wondered about Norwegian euphemisms for the toilet, right?
Right.
We talked about this last time, didn't we?
Oh, we did, but we didn't go through. I went away and I thought more about it. And I thought, goodness, there are a lot of euphemisms in the English language for using the bathroom, going to the WC or the water closet, as we used to call it. And I wondered about the Norwegian equivalents and whether there were as many.
Of course, I had to think about this. And my conclusion is that there doesn't seem to be that many about the room, the area, the space where you do your work, right? But it's there's more about the activity, I guess.
Say more.
Don't spit out of your coffee, right? So Norwegian, I don't think you could call them euphemisms, but they're just words or terms, I guess. But you have das, do. Kanna, latrina, and I threw in pissaren, so which is a more a Bergen dialect term, I guess, and also bad. And I think pretty much all of these words are close, perhaps, to English.
Yeah, most of them are pretty self-evident, I think.
Yeah. And I don't think any of them are especially crude or rude in any way. They're pretty neutral, and they are not attempts of sort of covering up what the space is about. Pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess you can divide the English language ones into the water closet, the WC, and the bathroom, I suppose the loo is a little bit prim as well. But then you're into kind of, got to take a shit in the crapper, mate. You're into that kind of, I don't know why that came out Australian. I think it was because we were talking about the dunny. But and then as you say, we're onto the verbs of doing the thing. So I've written down taking a tinkle, having a tinkle, which is quite a sort of soothing fountain-like metaphor, I guess.
Yeah, and why are you taking it?
Maybe it's having a tinkle or going for... I haven't really thought about the kind of the verb that's attached to that. It was the tinkling that was important.
Should be giving a tinkle.
No, I don't give a tinkle.
Yeah, I have to do some Googling for the Norwegian euphemisms for doing the thing.
You realize that Googling has...
that's another area, I guess. Is that when you stand outside of the window and look in? So I found a list of Norwegian euphemisms for going to letting go, right? Let it go. I didn't recognize any of this, I think. Well, perhaps some of these. So water the flowers.
Okay.
Do you have that in English?
I think maybe something like it. It's not used often.
And some of these are hard to translate, but okay. To empty the back. Or to empty the leg. go out to impress.
Wow.
This is quite common, I guess. Go out and hit Jens.
What has Jens ever done to you?
I don't know. Go and air the anaconda.
We're dangerously close to, yeah, other euphemism territory. I feel like that's another episode, or possibly the one that we never release. Yeah, well, I'm wondering if Jens is like the John, right? Like if you're going out to kind of hit the John.
Jens is a dick.
Hate that guy.
Yeah, but this is in the Venn diagram. I guess the euphemism episode would perhaps overlap a bit with the swearing episode, but still be two distinct episodes. But enough with the meta discussion. Changing accents, Chris. Can you do it? And can you do it in the UK?
Right. This is a thing that we talked about last time. And I guess I listened back to the episode and I thought maybe we weren't clear enough about the difference between accent and dialect. So this is a mistake that it's easy for me to make as someone coming in to Norway, where I hear people's different accents a lot, but sometimes they're also different dialects, and it's really hard as a non-native speaker to know sometimes which is one and which is the other. And it made me think a little bit more about that distinction for people listening in the UK. And in particular, when we talked about the idea that you might, like someone might move to Oslo and they might deliberately adjust how they speak. And so I guess that's not only maybe changing how they pronounce words, but it's also changing their choice of words, right? Like which words they would use to describe things. Not all the time, like, you know, it's not like you change your entire vocabulary, but there are certain words that you might change the term that you use to be clearer, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really imagine, I thought about this, and I couldn't really imagine like someone from Scotland moving to London or from the north of England moving to London. And first of all, I couldn't imagine them changing their accent very much. Like most people just can't do that. Some people can and some people do, but it seems like a minority thing. And I also couldn't imagine people changing the words that they used. You might get people who maybe tone it down a bit, who like maybe think twice before using slang that's sort of from where they're from. But it occurred to me that that would really be a thing that few people would do. So I thought it was interesting that Norwegians seem like very flexible in that regard. Now we're going to get emails.
I hope so. But yeah, I guess if you went out to change your dialect, yeah, of course you would change the words as well. But I don't think it's that there are so many words to be changed. So, well, yeah.
Maybe not the words, but maybe like the phrasing that you would use. I don't know. I'm tying myself in knots over even what a dialect is.
We should have a linguist on the show. But yeah, I guess changing your dialect, it would entail changing sort of the accent or the pronunciations or stuff, but also phrasing and also words. Of course.
It's hard for me to imagine British people en masse showing that kind of flexibility. Like, partly I think that's a kind of, I'm from this place, why should I stop trying to sound like or be from that place? Partly it's an identity thing. But also I wonder if there's something about growing up with two written forms of the language and like a very wide variety of accents and dialects in Norway that makes people just think, well, I'll just switch, and it's not a big deal. And it doesn't mean that you're surrendering your personal identity. It doesn't mean that you are in some way capitulating to the capital city or anything like that, or does it?
Yeah, I'm afraid it sort of does. But again, this is perhaps very individual, but I know that it is a thing. If you move to Oslo and perhaps not changing your dialect, but living in Oslo would mean that, especially if you come from the countryside where you tend to speak a bit more, a more thick dialect perhaps. If you go to Oslo and your dialect will be watered down, as you say, right? You will sort of adapt some words from the Oslo dialect or something like that. And if you come back speaking like that, you can get flack for having been to the city and... So there is... there is some local pride that goes into to the dialect, and I don't think it's the usual thing to change it. Some do, but it's a rare thing, because speaking a dialect is, that's no problem in Norway. People tend to accept that. Well, now they do. 50 years ago or 60 years ago. And there was a great influx of people from north of Norway moving into Oslo. And they got a pretty hard time fitting in. So they were treated almost like foreigners.
Why did they all move?
I think it was because of the... I should know this. Of the job situation, perhaps?
We can get back to you on that.
Yeah, we should. I have a scary lack of historic knowledge now. I've forgotten everything. Too long in the Anglophone web scene, I guess.
Because if there's anything we know, it's that old knowledge is overwritten by new knowledge.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Buffer overflow detected. So we can keep on.
I guess I have to do homework now.
Yes, yes you do. In your face, Bergen. One more piece of follow-up. I can't remember why cyclists made the list, but oh yeah, I know what happened.
You saw something, I guess.
I went ice skating on the pond near my house, in between it becoming completely unskatable on and then reforming again. So periodically it melts and gets flat again, and then it gets chewed up and then it melts again and gets flat again. So I'm just sort of in the middle of that cycle at the moment. But yeah, I went ice skating and... there was someone on one of those self-balancing unicycle things, the kind of electrical things that you stand on, and they're like about 10 kilos of dead weight metal. And they were in the park and they were on one of these things. You know, you stand with your foot each side of this thing and it kind of goes and you lean forward a little bit. It's like a one-wheel Segway.
They call it a hoverboard, which is highly anachronistic.
I have real problems with the use of hoverboard to describe this thing. I know what a hoverboard is, and this is not a board.
And it's not hovering.
No. The future is failing us.
And it looks so dorky.
I've seen some people looking pretty cool on these things, actually.
Nah,
they could. I've seen a few people who could really carry it off. But guy comes down, not just the park, but the ice. He's literally rolling along the ice on one of these things. And after a while, he comes back with someone else who is also on one of these things. And then she falls over and it stops looking cool.
I hoped for a different ending.
What did you hope for? That they went right through the ice?
Well, we have this saying that the Norwegians are born with skis on their feet, right? So I hoped it was kind of... but he stood tall through the ice against all odds. Yeah,
it's more of a Dalek metaphor trying to go up the stairs, I think.
Hey, I didn't think you watched Doctor Who.
Not anymore.
Explain? All right, but you have seen some cycling as well.
Yeah, People still cycle, like the Oslo bike rental scheme is suspended over the winter, but people still cycle a little bit.
Yeah, they have pigs in their decks.
They do have pigs in their decks, but sometimes it's not enough, and I know this because one of our colleagues came off his bike in what sounded like a very impressive way. He's basically fine, but his face was a little banged up there for a few days.
But he stood tall.
He stood tall. He can't help it. He's Norwegian. They're all tall, right? Like, we covered that at the start of the episode.
It's in jeans. Pun intended. Right. So, we don't actually have a proper topic for this episode.
Can you tell? We're like 35 minutes in and there's just like, it's just follow-up and rambling. It's going to be the most heavily edited episode of all time. I'll edit that bit out.
It's a jamming episode, right?
I guess we're just freestyling because we're that cool.
This is the one for new listeners. Welcome.
Oh God! Listeners. No, there is structure, really. You know, like the thing. If you're new at a thing, right, you need more visible structure. We have demonstrably no structure whatsoever.
I think it's better to sort of gather all the entropy in one episode instead of having it spread out throughout the season.
The whole point about entropy is it cannot be gathered. It defies gathering.
Now we are in Norway, and here we gathers entropy every day.
Ding, touche.
Right,
that's
so
just how we do it.
But have you had any like confusing meetings or cultural shocks or mildly cultural shocks or anything in the last week, Chris?
Just ongoing random static electric shocks from the furniture.
You should wear take off your shoes, man.
I did more than once.
Do you have wool socks?
It depends on the day. I'm not Norwegian enough to have a pair of wool socks for every day of the week. Is this a thing I should work on?
Yeah.
Okay. Noted.
You have been too busy. You have been working. You haven't been out there experiencing culture and the society and everything.
Not nearly enough, no.
But you... Where do you spend most of your working days now?
Well, it varies a little bit. Some of the time I'm in the office here in Oslo, and other times I'm out with the client.
Who's the client?
I can't talk about that on the podcast.
Can't you?
Well, it would seem indiscreet.
Well, but couldn't we sort of... You are sort of in the public sector? Your client is in the public sector?
Let's say that the client is in the public sector.
Because I thought, well, you seem to spend some of your days sort of in the heart of the most public sector there is in Norway, right?
Right. It's kind of as I would expect. I also worked in the public sector in the UK, and they're weirdly similar, actually. The vibe is weirdly similar. It's like very relaxed. It's a bunch of people who work hard, and perhaps here they're better at observing like sensible office hours. They seem generally less stressed, but it's hard to tell. I don't know them well yet. I'm trying to think what is different. There's free coffee, which I guess separates it from the UK equivalent. The quality of the coffee is somewhere between adequate and okay. But it's free. I'll take it.
Black liquids have a high standing in this country.
They do. Only one comes out of the ground, though.
You would think. I think coffee comes out from the ground as well.
Really?
The beans, man. They don't just appear in the store, right?
Well, obviously it grows from the earth, but like it's not like you dig up the beans. They're not potatoes.
So, but yeah, because I'm curious, because it seems to me that Well, if there is some kind of small differences, the sort of place where your client is, and compared to the back in the UK, there would be some there, I guess. You're way too focused.
On
your work. Look around you. Observe.
I spent a big chunk of this week ferociously wireframing. It was very hyper-focused work, actually. I should look around. Ferocious is going on the list.
Ferocious.
Not to be confused with Ferrero Rocher.
Ferrero Rocher wireframing. What's the word for that sound?
I don't know. Everyone would call it Muttley, I think, in the UK, like from Wacky Races or whatever, the cartoon. So eating lunch at 11 a.m. Let's talk about this, right? In the Oslo office, in our office here, people eat lunch at 11:30, which by UK standards is still extraordinarily early. But you got to bear in mind a lot of people are at their desk like 8 or before. And they probably ate breakfast at 6 or something, so it makes kind of sense. It's not uncommon for people in the public sector office where I work some of the week to go and have lunch at 11 o'clock. And the canteen is like plenty busy at 11 o'clock. And in the UK, if people were going for lunch, they might go in the 12 till 1 slot. And they would have an hour, by the way, typically, not half an hour. Or they might go 1 till 2. Which is like 1 till 2 here in the office. I'm hungry again.
Yeah, I think it used to be 12 to 12:30, but I guess with the introduction of the canteen, you have this. It has skewed because you don't want to be bothered going in a queue. So you push it, right? You push it earlier, and then you have this dynamic. But you couldn't go before 11 again, because I guess that would be too early. So it's a recent invention. Because in Norway, traditionally, we didn't have canteens. We had these small paper packets with 2 slices of bread and brown cheese, or tuna or something. That was the lunch.
And what's it called?
Matpakke.
Pack lunch. You still get them. Fancy coffee shops still do, like Shiva med brunost. It's pretty good too. You're not convinced.
I would have your lunch in Oslo any day over the matpakke.
Don't get me wrong, it's a good lunch. What do you do in Bergen? Because obviously it's a smaller office, right? So what happens for lunch? What does everyone do?
We order it from a pretty decent place, actually. So they make... we have some warm lunches and some, I guess you would call them advanced sandwiches.
None of that kind of intermediate sandwich here, like full-on advanced sandwich.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah. Because we are too few to earn a cook.
The other thing that's different here is that people really sit together and eat lunch at a kind of consistent time. So I guess do you all stop and eat together? Yeah, we all stop and eat together. And that's not really a thing that happens in UK offices very much. Like, there are exceptions. I've worked in software offices where people mostly did sit over the course of about 90 minutes. People would kind of come and go, and most people would come and sit and chat with other people. But the general rule is much more individualistic, that you just kind of take your lunch whenever you want, and you might go with other people, but you might not. And it wouldn't be everyone all at once.
I think eating together at the same time, that's a common thing.
It's very sexualist. Yeah. Can I say that?
Yeah, it is. We did that when I worked in the warehouse as well. Then we had scheduled coffee breaks also, where everyone went up to the canteen and had 10 minutes and a cup of coffee.
Together?
Yeah, bantering and so on.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was quite nice. Good for the team spirit.
Right. Which is important in a country like this, right?
Comrades.
Oh, socialism again.
Yeah, you have a strain of socialism, I guess, pretty much throughout the workday. I cannot elaborate on that, but I will later.
It's just there's a more collectivist approach to stuff here, a little bit, maybe. It's nice, I like it. I'm very cool with it. I guess it's not everyone's thing. I feel like in the UK, people are much more ruggedly individual. And we have, it's hard to say how that worked out, but like we have SCAPA. What do I mean? Scaped is a stupid word. Formed, created a culture that is progressively more individualistic. And when I say progressive, I don't mean like progressive politics. I mean like incrementally more and more.
Are there other aspects of that? Sort of in comparison with what you see here?
The thing that comes to mind is so there's a phenomenon, and I want to be really careful here not to punch down. Like, this is a thing that I observe having lived in the UK, that among people who are, let's say, less socially mobile than me, so with a lower income and maybe less likely to have higher education and blah, 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 I have observed that there is a thing, there's like an entitlement complex that can happen where basically they and their forebears just have been completely screwed over by the state. Like they have not been advantaged by the education system, by the social welfare network, by, you know, most things. And it can lead to a sense where people are like, well, fuck you, I'm just going to take what I can get. And the outcome of that is a kind of, I don't know. I don't like, it's completely understandable. I don't want to say this is terrible behavior, but at the same time, it only perpetuates the kind of individualism of the country, which is where you see someone else taking a thing that isn't maybe rightfully theirs or just taking whatever they can get because fuck it, I'm owed by the man, right? I'm owed by the system. And that leads to other people thinking, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Why shouldn't I do it? They got theirs, I want mine. I'm owed. And it fragments us as a society into a thing where rather than trying to build for the collective good, we just try and get what we can get before it's gone. And it's a very destructive thing. And again, I lay no blame at the feet of people who are doing this because they have been genuinely, I think, screwed over. But it seems hard to rescue from that state.
What have the European Union ever done for us?
Well, there was the European Convention on Human Rights.
You made that,
We're about
didn't
to tear it up and throw it away. There is not time or space in this episode for my Brexit pain, but oh my God, what?
I think we have to smear your Brexit pain all over the Small Differences podcast.
Is this the dirty processed episode? And do I now have to explain what a dirty processed is? Oh God.
I will save that for next time.
All right. That belongs in the swearing episode.
cultural pick of the week. I didn't follow up on your rant, but we will eventually.
Wh which round?
Well, I guess it wasn't a rant. It could sort of perhaps go into a rant. But yeah. I thought that since I have only picked Norwegian picks for the last 7 episodes, I should go for a UK cultural pick because you have culture in the UK as well. Who would know? So, I picked this little rock group, this little indie group called The Beatles. But not just the group, but a particular song by The Beatles. Which I think reveals something about the weird nationalism I seem to inhabit. Because I think I mentioned this earlier, but in Norway we have this weird thing of being... We are fond of being seen or recognized abroad. And I remember when I was much younger than today, that the song Norwegian Wood fascinated me. It was so cool that Beatles made a song with the term Norwegian in it. This is me, like, 6 or 7 years old. But yeah, so my cultural pick of the week is Norwegian Wood by the Beatles. Go figure.
That's a great choice. How were you hearing it? Like, did your family have it on vinyl, or was it on the radio? Or
yeah, Dad had it on vinyl.
And what did you imagine when you were listening to this? Like, did you have any pictures in your head of like who was singing it or why they were singing it? Or
I don't think so. Actually, I would love to have those pictures and elaborate on them on a podcast, but. It was just catchy, and I think I perhaps more imagined my dad's youth, which is weird because they had me when they were pretty young, like 19 and 20, so, yeah.
Right. I'm just thinking about the song. Is it on Rubber Soul? That's a great album.
Mm.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. I don't know whether I should elaborate on that or not, or like
you seem a bit flummoxed.
I'm just thinking about what the experience would be like. You know what? There's no equivalent experience of that in the UK. I'm just thinking about this, right? Like, because we have been historically kind of
dominant.
Yeah. I was gonna say with heavy air quotes, the center of the universe, right? Like, so that when people sing songs in English who are not from the UK, it's just like, well, duh.
I think you can safely omit the heavy quotation, air quotes.
But also just like, well, of course everyone's singing songs about, I don't know, the British Empire or the UK or whatever, because like, look at us, we're this horrible little stupid island that's just taken a dumbass decision. I'm sorry. I was going to try and keep it out of that, but you know, if ever there was a kind of going it over, kind of like exceeding your kind of any remaining capabilities. Yeah. Sorry. It's not that I'm bitter and drained by the whole thing. It's just that I'm bitter and drained by the whole thing.
I just realized that we have to address Norwegian Wood for a euphemism podcast episode. Can we move on now?
We can move on. We can absolutely move on. My cultural pick of the week. I couldn't think of a thing that I had consumed until I realised that there are things that I have consumed. Which is to say, quite a lot of meat. Shelving that one for the Swearing and Euphemism podcast. One of the things that I notice here is that reindeer is often on the menu. And this is probably, sorry in advance for vegetarian listeners, sorry in advance for people who really like Christmas, sorry in advance for any children listening, don't listen to this podcast, children. Tell your mummy and daddy that this is bad and it should be taken away. Yeah, reindeer is often on the menu. And it's really nice. I don't think I'd eaten it before I came here. I might have eaten deer a few times, perhaps, in the UK. It's often really dry. Like, if you eat deer in the UK, it's often, like, venison is the name given to the meat from deer in the UK. And it can be quite dry. I have had it nicely a couple of times. But here, if you eat reindeer meat, like, we had some yesterday, and it was rare and really, really tender and just absolutely amazing. And there are really nice smoked reindeer sausages you can buy in the supermarket and stuff like that. I'm bowled over by the generally by the quality of produce here, actually. But the meat is good, and it is remarkable to me that there is reindeer. Oh, but it makes total sense. It gets farmed. Why not?
Yeah, I think the special thing about reindeer, as perhaps you said, is, well, it's very tender, but it's also quite low in fat.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's actually much more flavoursome than beef, in my opinion. I never like being a big beef fan. I don't get it. It's just really bland. It's kind of more interesting.
It tastes nothing.
Right, right. You have to like put mustard all over it or whatever to make it taste of anything. And it's like, what's the point?
So I guess you can go on Amazon and order some reindeer meat. Can you? Should you check it out? Let's check it out. Can you order reindeer meat on Amazon?
There isn't an Amazon.no, though. So, like, what do you even do? Do you have to use the German
one?
Well,
we go to the grocery store. But if you are not in Norway and want some reindeer action...
I bet you can get, like, reindeer jerky, right?
Reindeer meat. Yeah, you can. Hot and spicy summer sausage with reindeer. Ah, Alaskan-made jerky with reindeer meat.
That's what I'm looking at right now. Mm. Yeah.
Alaskan reindeer sausage. Oh, it's expensive. Ha!
Frequently bought together with kangaroo jerky, ostrich jerky, and what's this other one? Oh, please let that be turkey jerky.
Rudolph reindeer deer meat hunting funny Christmas X-Men hoodie. X-Men.
Well, they're really packing the SEO shopping cart there, right?
Right. Moving into the word of the week, do you want to take yours first?
Sure. I bought a very big book that is a collection of sort of colloquial expressions and phrases in Norwegian. And I like to just have it on the table and I like to just open it at random and look at the pages and find something that's kind of interesting. And this jumped out at me, and the word is, I'm really struggling to pronounce this actually, like the parsing of it is quite difficult. Fremmedlegeme? Is that right?
Fremmedlegeme.
Fremmedlegeme. Are you saying the D because you're in Bergen? I've noticed.
I wonder, have you learned this, that we don't pronounce the D?
It's really common to have a D in the middle of words in Norwegian that no one here pronounces. But I notice that when I hear people from Bergen talking, they do pronounce the D way more than people here.
But this is a compound word, so I guess you would have to pronounce the D, if that's a thing we can say. But
I don't know. No one has taught me this. Help me.
I'm not sure now. But yeah, of course, you wouldn't say fremme legeme. You have to say fremmed legeme.
Fremmed legeme. Okay, noted. Thank you. It means a foreign body. And I liked it for a couple of reasons. I liked it because I am one right now. And it means a foreign body in all the senses that it would in English, right? So, like, you can be in from outside. You can be something that has been introduced to the organism that is not of the organism. I'm a virus. It can be, I guess, I think there was a description in the book about it being kind of someone who does not belong to any tribe or party, or who's just sort of a bit out there and removed from being in the thick of things. And sometimes I feel that, so I quite liked it as a word.
And perhaps a bit lost in translation, but fremmed, the word fremmed could also be translated to stranger. Stranger body.
What's your word?
Well, it sort of ties in, I guess, but my word is Trump. Eller Trump, which would be in Norwegian pronunciation, I guess. So it's actually a Norwegian word, but don't blame us.
What
do
you
want
mean?
To have the definition?
Please.
It's a new Norwegian word, as in new Norwegian or new norsk. I don't think it's new, but it's old. But it's an old new Norwegian word, right?
Isn't it good, Norwegian words?
This isn't confusing at all. It can mean mainly 3 to 4 things. Big, heavy, and stiff. Onerous and difficult guy, or this is a technical word, kolbe.
I got nothing. What is it?
I have to do some googling. But sort of the back of the gun. Or the rifle.
The butt? Like the butt of a rifle?
Yeah, the butt of the rifle. It could also mean sort of forcing someone, power, and so on. So it seems fitting.
Wow. It seems like it's, like, so hang on. Based on what you just said, it's a verb, it's a noun, and it's an adjective?
No. It's only a noun. It's just me bad at explaining stuff, but yeah, it's a noun.
Can you give an example of how you would use it?
In Norwegian?
Sure.
Han der Donald er skikkelig Trump. Donald is a real Trump, right?
And by that you would mean...
That Donald is a big, heavy, stiff something. He is onerous and tver. What's tver in English? Cross, perhaps?
Spiteful, almost? Or
yeah, something like that. And he has the shape of the butt of a gun or rifle.
Nailed it, I'd say.
Mm. Butt of a rifle. Title? Perhaps not. Yeah. Yeah, so...
This reminds me, one of the supermarkets here has a loyalty scheme, right? Like where you join up and you get benefits and stuff. And isn't it called Trumpf?
Trumpf.
And every time I see it, I wonder if their sales have fallen in the last few months.
Oh, good point. I haven't thought about that.
Sorry, but, now you're going to think that every time.
Trigger warning.
I've ruined it for you. Well, he's ruined it for all of us, so yeah, that's just how that's going to be. There are no words to describe my feelings for what are happening in politics right now. It's been the most lunatic of weeks.
I think the percentage of people shaking their heads on podcast has vastly increased the last couple of weeks.
That's a very hard thing to measure.
But somehow you can.
Right.
So if people want to find a animated gif of us shaking our heads in despair, where do they have to go?
SMH. No. smalldifferences.farside.fm, and they can find all the episodes, and they can find a link to our Twitter account, Småforskjeller, which is Small Differences in Norwegian. And what else can they find there? Oh, a new
feature.
Right. Yeah. You made a new page. So we have a new page on the site that contains all of the previous words of the week.
Or most of them, at least.
Or most of them. Yeah, we can't.
It's not finished, I guess.
I guess it's not finished. It's a work in progress, right? The Small Differences Encyclopedia of the Words of All the Weeks. And if you go to the site, you will see that link, and you can read back through all of the words that we have chosen, and where possible, where they exist, we have linked to them. So there you go. Don't say we do nothing for you.
And there's also a contact form.
There is. Write to us.
Because people love to fill in forms.
Right.
That's what interaction designers at least think.
It's what the web is for. We didn't design it for cats or pornography. It's entirely for forms.
Form-o-rama. So, yeah, we are at 1 hour.
Nice. But, like, how much of this is killer and how much is filler? I'm a little concerned.
Is there even a distinction? Isn't that the thing?
Touché. Okay, maybe it pays not to examine that too closely.
I guess we will be back next week with a new topic.
With a topic.
A topic, diligently. Oh, that's going on the list. Researched, quality ensured, and all that.
Disclaimer, I'm going away for the weekend to with colleagues on the Hütte Tour.
Oh.
So I don't know what state I'm going to be in on Monday morning.
Well, you will be in the state of giving us all the deets and the embarrassing things and the scandals and yeah.
Good colleagues don't hit and tell. Small differences
unfiltered.
Yikes. I'm looking forward to it. I'm slightly intimidated, but I'm looking forward to it.
You should.
How come you're not coming?
I have to take care of two horses.
Hmm.
As you do.
As you do. You're a naysayer.
No, I'm quite unstable. And with that, takk for at du hørte på. Ha det bra.
Takk for at du hørte på. Ha det bra.